Today we come to the Transfiguration. We come here every year on the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany, right before we launch into Lent and Easter. This is the last gospel reading that we hear before Ash Wednesday, and that's not an accident, that's on purpose. But I find in the Western Church kind of, I don't know, a certain ambivalence about the Transfiguration. On one level, we're just not quite sure what to make of it. We tend to understand our faith as, you know, behave this way, do this, believe that, and so forth. We tend to be pragmatic in the way that we think about and approach the faith. So we come to an event like the Transfiguration, where Peter and James and John are up on the mountain and they have this glorious mystical vision of Jesus, and his face shone like the sun and his clothes become dazzling white. And at some level, we're just not sure what to make of it. What does that tell me about how I'm supposed to behave tomorrow? What instruction does that give me in life? But yet, it seems like this wonderful thing, and we probably should be celebrating it for some reason. So let's make it a big day. But I've had enough experience in the Eastern Church, the Orthodox, the so-called Orthodox denominations, to know that in the Eastern Church, the Transfiguration is one of the central festivals of the church. It is a big deal in the Eastern Church. And so I've pondered a bit, what's the difference? What do they see in the Transfiguration that we Westerners miss? And I think the difference is this. We're looking for something practical, but the Eastern Church is very happy with mystery, with wonder, with awe, simply for its own sake. Everything doesn't have to translate down to some pragmatic bit of instruction. The Eastern Church is much more comfortable just glorying in the wonder of who God is and his wondrous love for us and our freedom and privilege to respond in love to him. Think about the close relationships that you have in your life, perhaps with spouses, your spouse, family members, very close friends. Now, in those relationships, do you just talk about logistics? Okay, I need to get up and go to work at this time. I can meet you after work at this time. Let's go have dinner together at that time. We'll go watch this movie. We'll go play this game. Let's do this or that. Is that really all that happens in those relationships? No. Yes, we have to tend to those details. But what makes the close relationships in our lives wondrous and fulfilling and satisfying and meaningful is that we are willing and prepared to simply sit in awe and wonder with the person that we know and love, and to simply glory in the moment of recognizing our love for one another and our sharing with one another, and that somehow that's a mystery. Why does this person love me? Why do I love that person? What is it that wells up within each of us? And that's a critical part of those close and wondrous and satisfying relationships in our lives. And that should also be a part of our relationship with God. We are not simply here to get a few rules to get us through the next week, to figure out what we're supposed to do. No, we gather in worship to glory in the relationship, to glory in the wonder that the God of the universe chose to make you and me and chose to come to us and loves us and wants to be with us and wants to receive our love for him. that's central to finding the joy and wonder of the Christian life. And I think the Eastern Church tends to understand that a little more easily. They may miss the side that, yeah, we still should take care of the logistics. There are practical realities of being a follower of God in our lives that we need to hear and take into ourselves and understand and live out. Just like in a close relationship, you know, the relationship won't last very long if you agree that we're going to meet at 5:30 for supper after work and you never show up and you do that consistently. Pretty soon that relationship's going to suffer, isn't it? You got to pay attention to those logistics to keep it healthy and strong, but it's got to be more than that too. It takes both sides. In the history of the church, I tend to think of it as it takes the West and the East, the best of both, to understand the joy and wonder of this relationship. This morning, we have two baptisms. We're going to celebrate two people coming into the life of faith. And they're not just coming into a set of rules for how to behave. They are entering a relationship that should be full of awe and wonder and mystery. And I hope that those who are baptized, I pray that those who are baptized and those of us who watch it and those of us who will renew our own baptisms as we go through that liturgy will take a moment to simply glory in the wonder of the fact that God made us and loves us and comes to us and wants to be with us and to receive our love for him. And yes, I pray that we will learn to live that out more and more effectively in the practical realities of our lives. But I pray that first and foremost, we would each come to know the wonder of God's love for us. And in that moment of the transfiguration, that moment that Peter and James and John enjoyed up on the mountain, they were overwhelmed by it. They didn't know how to respond to it. Peter started with, "Lord, let me build three tents so we could hold on to this forever." That's what he wanted to do. No, that's not the point. And then when they heard the voice from God, they weren't encouraged. They collapsed on the ground in fear. And Jesus had to say, "No, you don't have to be afraid." You know, they kept getting the response wrong. "No, you don't have to build tents. It's about something else. No, you don't have to fall on the ground in fear." In fact, we are called to stand before God in the wonder of this moment of his presence with us and our privilege of being present with him. And we see that gloriously revealed in that moment of the transfiguration. But we celebrate it every time we gather in worship, every time we give thanks to God in our faith, every time we come to him in prayer and worship and petition. Remember the wonder and the mystery that we are God's children and he chooses to be with us. Amen.